What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Barbell Ambition Mixtapes. I'm here with my boy Brandon of Barbell Bills.
What's up?
We're going to get into it. It's been a while. We haven't chatted in a while. We haven't been on here in several weeks.
Yeah, man.
So it's going to be a catch-up podcast, man. No need for a huge intro. We've both been crazy busy. What's going on in your world, bro? How's your knee? It looks like you're like back to doing some training. You're back to fucking, you're still killing it with the push-ups. It looks like your training has become more consistent recently.
Yeah, man, it's become like, well, now I've been able to both deadlift and squat consistently every week, which has obviously always been the goal. You know, it's just normal training. So I'm finally back to, you know, the norm with that. Knees feeling good, man. I still have like, I figured out through the lunges, I've been lunging the last 3 weeks or so. I haven't really been, I've been doing it consistently, but I have no idea what like the streak is or anything like that. But I realized I've had a couple days where that knee would get bothered while I was lunging. And so the gym I was doing them at, I think it was last week when it happened, the one time I realized I was lunging towards a mirror and I pushed my knee out. Like very natural, like multiply power lifter. Like everything I do, I just, when I'm lunging, I tend to like push that knee for some reason. And that was what it was doing. So I started focusing obviously on pointing my foot straight and making sure everything was aligned, being a little bit more deliberate with my lunging, I guess is what I'm getting at. And that's helped quite a bit. I haven't had any of those hiccups or anything. So I realized through some of that stuff that, I'm not always helping myself in some of my movements when I'm re-aggravating some of those injuries.
Yeah. So are you like now able to push, or are you still in like the feel out phase?
No. Last week was the first week I would say that I felt like I was back to my, I wouldn't say normal, but back to halfway normal squat session. It was somewhere in the neighborhood of like high threes bar weight plus 160 in chains to like a reasonable box for triples. They moved. They, you know, nothing was too crazy the last few weeks. Been squatting with, you know, the boy Cody, and he put it the best. He's like, you just look out of practice, dog. And I was, you know what I mean? So it's just like, I was, one of the big things, man, was just picking the bar up again, like picking the bar up with my hips back, picking the bar up, you know, center, just all of those different moving, like all of those different cues just to get the bar out of the rack to like start an efficient squat. It's like, Jesus, bro. You know, all those things kind of coming back. But yeah, man, we're getting there. It's, I'm just honestly stoked to be moving. I've realized through the back to back, the ankle, then the knee issues or whatever, how much like I just enjoy the consistent squat sessions every week, you know, so I'm just happy to be back doing it.
Yeah, dude, that's fucking huge.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
Yeah, like when you can't train and all you want to do is train, there's like those moments where you're like, man, I'd give anything to be able to squat a plate right now.
Yeah, dude, for
like,
sure.
What am I fucking doing? And that shit gets crazy frustrating. But it's like, I tell my guys, actually at the end of one of the sessions we had towards the end of the prep for WPO earlier this year, like looked at him after a session. I was like, yo, remember this feeling right here, dog. Like,
yeah,
remember this feeling, because like this shit does not happen all the time. And like in a few months after the meet, when you feel like dog shit and you're fucking banged up and you know, all your supplements are way low and all this stuff, like you're going to wish you could get this feeling. So like, enjoy this right now.
Yeah, man. No doubt.
Like trying to like live in the moment.
Well, like I can remember times where like, especially squatting at the doghouse and stuff, where it's like, get there a little early, sit there and just like have to get mentally prepared to go in and handle whatever the weights were that night. It's like, which one do you want to bitch about? You know what I'm saying? Do you want to sit there on the couch and be like, man, I wish I was squatting a plate, or do you want to be able to do the thing? So,
yeah. I think that there's something to, we had a, kid in our group get hurt. Well, I wouldn't even say he got hurt. He tweaked his shoulder pretty good, but he had never experienced that before.
Right.
And you know, he's like going to the doctor and all this stuff, you know, like just shit that like,
it should last, but yeah, I know what you mean.
No, dude, totally. Trust me. I have given him a significant amount of shit for it. You know, just like stuff that you kind of have to go through, you know, and you're like the first, like shoulders, especially like the first time you tweak your shoulder, you're like, am I ever going to be able to lift a weight again?
Dude, for sure.
Fucked up. And so he's going to like, you know, going to the doctor. The doctor's giving him fucking cortisone shots. And he's fucking talking about getting a shoulder replacement. And I'm like, whoa, hold on. So, like, you know, and you could tell he was like kind of desperate to get back to training, which is a good thing. But it's like at the same time, it's like, bro, listen, like, let's just, you know, just give it a fucking couple weeks, bro. Like, it's going to come back. Just sit with it a little bit, you know? Yeah. And so, I think he kind of learned after about a week of that where it's like, yeah, dude, like the doctors would like, you don't want a doctor with a white coat telling you anything about your fucking shoulder. It's more so you want like the guy who's wearing a polo shirt and athletic shorts. The guy that you more likely want to be talking to.
Yeah. The movement guy, right?
Yeah, and definitely not like the fucking orthopedic surgeon.
Yeah, for sure.
They're just gonna be like, stop lifting weights or let me put you under the knife.
Yeah, because like, no doubt.
Surgeons like to do surgery.
Turns out.
That's, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, surgeons to do surgery because that's their fucking profession, right? It's like, so obviously they're gonna be like, yeah, let's cut you open, you know?
Yeah, that's wild, man.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously he was just experiencing some stuff that you experience early in your career. And while he's, like, an older person, he's not – his training age is really young. So he had to, like, go through that to figure it out. And it's just learning curve. Sure. Everybody goes through it. No big deal.
I was going to say, Go ahead.
It's been a while.
Yeah, man,
I was going to say that, like, my dad, like, a really cool, like, little anecdote, like, my old man, he was born in 51. So that makes him what, like 72? He has had problems with his left knee for quite some time, where it would get like, you know, he would get fluid in it. And then he was getting, you know, the fluid drained and getting a shot. I mean, he's older, right? So they're like, we could give you a knee replacement or we can just give you a fucking cortisone shot every 6 weeks. And like, basically you're gonna die before.
I was gonna say, just ride it out, right?
Like, just fucking run it, you know? And so I've been telling this fool for years, like, you need to go to the gym. He was an athlete in high school and college, and he's always stayed pretty active, but like not when it comes to the gym,
right? Like, yeah, more like functional movements around the yard and stuff.
Yeah, but he's older, and they don't have like, they have like a condo now, so he's not doing like the yard work, so he's not like, a little more sedentary, right? And I've been like, man, you got to get to the fucking gym. You got this. So he finally gets a fucking gym membership. And it's just like a, you know, it's like Planet Fitness, whatever. And he goes and he just does like, his PT gave him like a list of exercises to do. And he just goes in 3 days a week and he does these exercises, right? And these stretches. Mm-hmm. And I went out to eat with him the other day and he's like, man, like, look at my knee. Like, my knee is not swollen anymore. And he's like, I'm going, dude is so sick. He's like, I'm going to get my checkup on it where they usually drain it and give me another cortisone shot this week. Like, what do you think? And I was like, well, do you think that you need the shot or for it to get, he was like, no. And I was like, well, then don't let him fucking do it. Like, yeah, tell him how you're feeling, right? So he went in and the doctor was like, yeah, like, you, let's see how you do. Like, you don't need, we don't need to give this to you right now. And it's cool to see like someone, you know, obviously love my dad. Like, it's awesome to see him like kind of figure out that like, it's like, yo, movement is like the best medicine a lot of times. Like, you know, and figuring that stuff out. We fucking squatted on Friday and I took kind of a big one into some chains and I tweaked my knee. Like, as soon as I took my knee wraps off, I was like, fuck my life.
Right.
I'm like, fucking tweaked my fucking knee.
Yeah.
And I'm like, son of a bitch. So it was free squat night. So we didn't do anything after. We just like, you know, cleaned up and hung out.
Yeah, sure, down.
And I was like, got home. It was like swelling up a little bit. It wasn't like painful, but it felt like restricted by the swelling. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, motherfuck my life. And normally I would be like tripping.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like back in the day, I would have been losing my mind.
I was going to say, you probably would have sent me a text.
Like, I'm like, listen, bro, like, this, listen, like, it's all good. Like, I put some, like, I have, like, a Mary's Medicinal. It's like a 1-to-1, like, THC to CBD, like, topical.
Got you.
That I love. It's fucking so good. Nice. And I put that on it. Whatever. That might be just like, it might, I might just like it because it's mentholated and it feels good. It could be anything.
Yeah.
So I just like put it on, whatever. And when I woke up and like, you know, I woke up, take a piss. I'm like, man, my knee's pretty stiff. And went to do my lunges in the morning. And it's like my left knee. I always start with my left foot. Mm-hmm. It's just like, close your eyes and fucking hope that it doesn't hurt. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, here we go, man. We're about to figure out how annoying of a day I'm about to have.
Yeah, no shit.
And, you know, the first, like, five or six of them were kind of, like, crinkly and, like, rough feeling. And then by the time I was done with the 100, it was feeling like it was, like, 80%. So I'm like, okay, if it gets better by me moving it,
yeah,
then nothing is super fucked up.
Right. I was going to say, you own a pretty good spot to do shit about that.
Yeah, and now it's pretty, you know, it's still, like, it feels, like, a little sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't feel like I have an injury. I just tweaked something, you know?
Is it more like an unstable feeling? And
yeah, and like it's like kind of like more of a scary sort of thing where it's like reminds me of like what I did going into WPO in like 2019 or 18. And so I'm like, you know, but what happened with that was I just like I fucked up by like trying to do all this extra stuff instead of just being like, nope, I'm going to continue.
Right.
You know? as normal. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I ended up doing. And yeah, it's been fine. We like deadlifted since then and it was pretty okay. Benched and shit, so it should be fine. But it's always those moments of oh fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so scary.
That kind of segues into something we talked about recently on the podcast at one point or another was just like, you know, the fear and just what you said, like how it reminded you, not that it was necessarily like the worst thing, but just that feeling of like, oh shit, what it was like last time or whatever time. I'm starting to have that a little bit with the neck stuff. Like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The like, I don't know if it's cartilage or scar tissue or what it is, like just kind of banging around in there. And I was telling Cody the same the last 3 weeks, like all the moving around and the heavier weights and stuff is definitely like, definitely have some noise in there still. And like right before I push into the bar every single time now, that goes through my head like how bad that shit hurt. And it's like it just kind of goes back on something that we talked about where it's like I'm still not scared to take big weights as in like that they'll crush me, but I am definitely scared of that shit again, you know what I mean? Like
yes. Yeah. No, and definitely and it's like pushing through that fear is part of it. Like everybody has fears. Everybody, you know, deals with that, but it's a right. matter of like being able to push through it and like, mm-hmm. you know, do the right shit to make sure that you're safe as you can be.
Right.
And also recognizing that like shit dog, like I just might get hurt again. Like you just, you know, it's just, it is what it is. You know
you also,
mean?
You know, I've unracked a bar, you know, thousands of times. I only got hurt that once. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that might seem kind of ignorant, but it's like,
no, when I that's do a get, great
it's
point.
Just kind of like, yeah, you know, there's only that one time that really fucking sucked. So
maybe. Yeah. That's a great fucking point, bro.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's sick. Yeah. Other than that, like on my end, shit's been crazy. We went out to Utah for the Nationals. That was sick.
Yeah, man. I wanted to hear about that.
Have
you been out there for any powerlifting stuff before?
No, I've never been out that way and dope. I've never been in that high of elevation.
Oh yeah.
So that fucked me up a little bit doing my lunges and, I didn't really realize it until I was doing them. I can usually have like a phone call. I mean, shit, we've talked on the phone when I've been lunging, like, right. It's no big deal, but I called my homie and I'm chatting with him and he's like, are you okay? I'm like, bro, I can't fucking breathe. Like, I'm like, what is happening?
Right.
It was a little weird out there with like the Mormon stuff.
I'd say it's pretty prevalent out that way, huh?
Yeah, I was definitely like an alien to those people.
I always, I know we've talked about it, but I just always forget the tattoos and the, you know what I mean? I just like, that's not what I notice at this point, but I'm sure they do.
Well, yeah, exactly. And like a guy like me, all of my homies, like they're like, I don't think people that know me think about like my head tattoos at all, right, ever.
Exactly.
But if you've never seen me before, it's pretty aggressive looking, you know? So, yeah, no, it's good though. Our single ply dude, Spandy, he did awesome.
Nice. Yeah, he won it, huh?
Yeah, he won his weight class, and nice. Autumn did really well too. We have a raw female. She did good. First meet out of state for her.
Sick.
So a few like learning things for her, you know, kind of like, you know, figuring out
stuff or...
Yeah. And like understanding that weights are just harder when you're not in a comfortable setting.
yeah, for sure.
So I had to have a conversation with her this week. I'm not sure if she listens to the podcast or not. I don't know if she'll be mad that I'm sharing this, but it happens to everybody. Yeah. So it's a good teaching point. So we're in the back room. Her best squat's like 480 or 470, I think, in reps. And she, so her opener was like 400. We were going to go like 400, 440, and then like make a jump based on depth, based on how the judging was and all that stuff and how she was feeling. So she's taking her last warm up, which is like 365 or 370. And I'm like, all right, pay attention on this one. Like, we're talking. She's like, yeah, like get this smash 400 out there. Like, it ain't shit. Right. I'm like, okay. So in my head, I was already like, okay, like she's for sure going to miss a squat today on like, I don't want to say cocky, but like just an assumption that she's going to get it.
I know what you mean. Yes.
You know what I mean? Yep. Dave said that shit to me before. He's like, you haven't done it today, motherfucker.
Dude, that
you might have done it before.
Like, yeah. you know, hard truths.
Like, you may have done this before, but you have not done it yet today.
Yep.
So, so in the time, you know, she, you know, like, I love Autumn. She's awesome. She's a good friend. She's kind of, I don't want to say she's new to the sport, but she's new to the sport in the way of like being at a higher level with it. You know, she'd only done local, like real backyard type meets.
Gotcha.
And then when we came in and kind of revamped the meets, that was a level up for her. And then going to nationals, another level up for her.
Right.
And, so, you know, she went out, opened 400. It was hard for her, you know, like not hard, but she like kind of dumped it in the bottom. And like, I was like, that was harder than it should have been, you know?
Yeah,
not that it moved slow, but it looked disjointed a little bit. And I'm like, all right, so she goes up 440 and gets smashed with 440.
Oh boy.
And I haven't seen her miss that weight, I don't think ever.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, fuck, like, okay. So I talked to her, I was like, listen, you have to treat this like it's fucking 600 pounds. Like, this is... You know, take this serious. So she goes up, smashes it, looks like an opener.
Nice.
But she missed that opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Like, and because of that, she didn't PR her total.
Yeah, I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Like the whole dynamic there.
Yeah, so it built the day in a different way than she wanted to. Now, listen, she got a full meet full meet bench PR, and she pulled another 400 pound deadlift in competition, which I think was really cool.
Yeah.
But I didn't talk to her then, and I gave it like a couple weeks before I was like, all right, listen, do you want to know why you missed that?
Yeah, dude, that's a hard truth. That's a good one though. That's like a lot of people don't want to fucking share the realness of that.
No. Yeah. And it's hard with someone who, like, she's submerged in the culture of powerlifting because she's at our gym.
Okay.
But it's like newer to her.
Understood. Yeah, so I see what you're saying.
She hasn't had the experiences where she's been to 20 meets that she's not competing at and just like watched people fuck stuff up.
Yeah, fair.
Like, think about how many times you've been to a meet and you've been like, "This, here goes this fucking guy again." Dude,
yeah, no shit. I've never really considered any of that. Yeah,
you know, and you learn so much. Like, it's like how many times you go to like a meet at like, you know, Showtime, or at Laura's. It didn't happen as much as Laura's.
Yeah,
but it happened a bunch of like Showtime meets where it's like you watch just like the same people bomb out. You just watch
them
bomb every fucking time. You just watch these people. You're just like, you're bombed out in the warm up room.
Yeah,
like you
just watch them.
And it's no disrespect to those people, but at the same time, it's like it gives you an opportunity. Like being around that gives you a chance to learn without experiencing some of this stuff.
Yeah,
like a lot of the lessons you know about this, you probably learned through watching somebody fuck up.
Yeah, how to not be, you know what I mean? How to like, yeah, you watch somebody get embarrassed, you watch somebody act like a jackass, like that's notable for me. Yeah.
Yes, all that stuff. So I think she had to like, she has to experience some more of that stuff. And this was just like kind of a tough, I mean, she had a good day and it was a good experience. And she got a chance to, you know, like, you know, travel and see stuff and whatever. And then got to hang out the next day when everybody else was competing.
Right.
And, you know, it was good. But it was definitely, like, probably not a fun lesson to learn.
How many meets has she done? Are we talking, probably, like, sub five?
I would say sub 10. Okay. I would say probably around five or six.
Okay.
Something like that. Nothing, you know, like, she's
been
decent
there a few times, but I kind of see what you're saying. Like, I don't even know how to describe what I'm trying to say.
I think she's been she's only witnessed and not competed at like two meets.
Right. Yeah.
So, and when you're in it, you're like, when you're just there competing, you're kind of just like in your shit.
Yeah. 100%.
You know what I'm saying? And going to meets, I've been to so many meets that I wasn't competing at. You just get a different perspective just watching.
Oh, for just sure, like, yeah.
And there's no anxiety, so you're just, like, sitting there just, like, watching fools just, like, lose their fucking mind.
I was going to say, it's the worst because part of the day I'm like, man, I really wish I was, like, I love this shit. I wish I was competing. And then, like you said, the other part's like, man, I am cool to kick it in this chair and watch y'all do the thing. Like, you know?
Yeah, you know what I found is that judging meets, it's really cool to get a different perspective from a judging aspect. So like, you don't really know what's on the bar.
Okay.
You just like, I'm not paying attention to the weight. I have no idea what the weight is. It's usually in kilos. I don't fucking know. I'm not paying attention to the announcers. I'm not paying anything else. I've got guys on the platform who are double checking, make sure it's even and it's right.
Right.
So I'm just looking
at
the lifter.
Yeah.
And what I found was I judged this meet down in Massachusetts and this one kid, he looked very put together. His lifts all looked good. He looked super hyped. And, like, I assumed he was pushing, like, big numbers, like, big numbers, right? Mm-hmm. And they ended up being, like, intermediate numbers when I looked at it after. They were okay. You know, they weren't crazy. They were decent.
Yeah.
But in that moment, because I couldn't see the weight, I just got to experience, like, this person lifting weights.
Yeah, okay.
And it was so cool because, like, it doesn't matter if it's a 500-pound squat, 800-pound squat, 1,000-pound squat.
Right.
The lifting of the weights kind of remains the same.
Yeah. You get to see someone pushing, like, their maximal regardless of what's on the bar. Yeah, that makes sense. That's sick.
And it kind of, like, it was cool because you just get to experience the sport for the sport without all the other –
without the relativity, right?
Yes. Yeah. Without all the shit. You don't, it's not like, oh, well, that's only X amount or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I think that's part of being in the sport for a long time is you get to witness a lot of things that maybe help you be a better lifter, better coach, like through osmosis. Like you just sitting there watching it happen and watching this person, like, helps me appreciate the sport, but also helps me be, I think, a better coach.
Yeah. I'm sure. And the other thing is you, like, I know I've, like, as I've matured as a lifter and, again, been around at those meets you're talking about where I'm not lifting. I mean, there's people I've watched and I don't know, like I said, same way, like what the weights are, but I would 100% rather watch a kid in a shirt take three plates with a, you know, nice bench stroke, just a nice clean bench press, than watch some guy blow, you know, dump 600 on his belly four times in a fucking row. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's just the truth. You know what I mean? You just get tired of, because that's a lot of what it is. It's like, you can almost see guys back, like in the warm-up room. It's like you said, it's like, you're already kind of already know how your day is going to go for the most part, but I'd rather watch some kid, even if it's a plate, you know what I mean, with a nice clean stroke. Like, it just, I don't know. It's just like, it's cool to watch somebody that understands how to lift weights, the principles, and you can tell somebody that's like been paying attention.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think that's just huge. Yeah. Going to meets and just as a spectator, I think is something that could, that is underestimated in value.
Yeah. You even get like a feel for like, as a lifter, and not to like change from the spectator thing, but like as a lifter, you kind of get a feel for like how different, you don't want to say your competition, because powerlifting is, you know, relatively like close knit. Everybody's competing for themselves, but also the other gyms you're competing with. You know what I mean? Like, you get to kind of see how they operate. You get to see, like, you know, big bench crews. You get to see crews that come out and can squat but can't bench. Like, I think that shit's super interesting, because you can almost always tie it back to, you know, whoever's running that crew, their theory, and where that shit comes from. And that, just, you know, the history of it, right?
Yeah, we said that. We all had, like, a real good bench night, like, 2 weeks ago. And I was saying to the guys in the group, like, yo, like, just like, not to be cocky or anything like that, but it's like, being around me, like, your squat's going to get better.
Right.
Just because, like,
yeah,
I'm good at that. And even though it might not always look fantastic, like, the numbers are big, and yep, like, I'm real confident with my squat and whatever, but it's like, and that's great. And everybody in the crew squats pretty good, whatever. But it's like, when we all have big benches, that's the big fuck you.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
I'm like everybody in here fucking bench. So dude, we're actually doing got a handful of people. Let's see, Sean. I think three or four of our people are doing a bench only meet in like 2 weeks.
Nice, dude. Just hopping in.
Nice. Val's actually doing it in gear.
What?
Yeah, so Val's actually that's doing legit. An bench shirt. Yeah,
Yeah, I didn't know that she was like legit coming out.
Yeah, so I don't want to tell her story.
Right.
I don't want to do that. But yeah, she wanted to. She's doing a meet in October. She's doing that raw.
Yeah.
And she's just like fucking around and asked if she could get in a bench shirt. It was like, I want to get in a bench shirt. Like, cool. So we took her to like a two board and a one board, and
yeah,
you know, she did like 355 to a two board. And then I backed her off to like 305. She took it to a one board, and like, you know, she looked just like she used to. She's great.
I was gonna ask, was it, you know, riding a bike?
Yeah, bro. I mean, like, you could tell there was like a little bit of a hiccup between like riding the sleeves and finishing with tricep. Mm-hmm. Right. But I mean, fucking hell, dude, you know, right. Like, she looks great. So
awesome.
Yeah, really cool. So, I think that she's been doing lots of yoga stuff.
Yeah.
She does yoga like 3 days a week or 4 days a week, depending. And that has made her like shoulder issues basically go away.
Sick, dude.
That's, yeah, awesome. So like when she was at Sweatshop, she couldn't go below a two board without feeling like her collarbone was going to break. That's what she used to always say that. She's like, feels like my collarbone is going to break. Yeah. And she would just take like an opener off a two board and then go to a meet and just like be a psycho.
I was going to say, and then the bench shirt just really helps the closer you get, you know. It's just,
yeah,
like, Jesus.
Yeah. So I asked her, I'm like, how'd that feel in the shirt? Like, was that fun? She's like, yeah, it's like, it's fun for me. And I'm like, you're a psycho.
Yeah, like, dude.
Benching in a shirt is not fun. Dude, it's a fucking nightmare.
It is. It's fun like the first three times you do it, and then after that, it's like, nah,
work.
Dude, I don't want to do this at all.
Well, yeah. It's also. It's like. Well, what are we talking? We're talking like jacking the shirt and going to a two board. Hell yeah. Let's fucking,
yeah,
let's
holding
go.
The biggest weights I've ever held. All right. Yeah. I'm in. Yeah.
Bet. Like, cool. It's like. Or are we talking about like trying to touch something? It's like, okay, there's a big fucking difference.
Or one of my favorite, Dave's pinky on the rings too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like,
fuck.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, man. We started doing some of that stuff, the close grip, where I think he got that from Big Iron.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I fucking did it. Without questions asked. It was hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. Like, so what I've been having people do is go, like, one or two fingers closer on grip in a shirt, go to a two board, back the weight off, go to a one board with a regular grip. So the range of motion is almost the same.
I was going to say, stroke's got to be close, huh?
Yeah, it almost turns into the same thing.
Interesting.
That's going, it's pretty good. We just sanctioned our meet for November 18th.
Nice, dude. I will definitely, I'm hoping to contribute to that.
Yeah, cool. And then, yeah, like obviously WPO is on the 4th of November. And then we had, you know, went out to Columbus for table talk and shit, which was always an experience. It's yeah, cool.
How was all that?
It was good. Yeah, it was good. So the old, ready for this shit. It's always something, right? So the old Wonder Bread factory in Columbus is now like apartments and Airbnbs.
Okay.
So it's just like super hip, like.
Yeah. Like,
newer. You know, Columbus, like, you know, like brewery district type shit. And it's cool. There's like cool, like traditional Americana type tattoo style art on the walls and shit. And so we're walking in, and Val worked in a bread factory when she was in Columbus, and there was an occasional cockroach in there. Okay. And so we were walking in, and she's like, "Hope there's not cockroaches." And we're like, "Ha ha ha ha, whatever." So we go in. It's a loft, and it was like, it wasn't dirty, but it wasn't clean. It looked like two or three 18-year-olds partied there, and they quote unquote cleaned up.
I guess.
Like, if you gave me a vacuum cleaner, it would look immaculate in 15 minutes, but it was like, there were like crumbs on the floor and shit, but we're just like, whatever. We're just here to rest our heads. They let us have the two dogs here. Like, fuck it. So all good. We're there for a couple of days. And then the last night we were there, we went and benched and then went and got food and got back to the when we were outside, we were walking the dogs, and I saw like a bunch of bugs like go flying across this parking lot at this one time. I heard like tick, 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 and I'm like, damn, dude. Like, but you know, Ohio, they got cicadas, they got all sorts of shit. Who knows? So we go home, we go back to the Airbnb, and we walk in, it's like probably 11:30. And we walk into the bedroom, and in the middle of the bedroom is a fucking oriental cockroach about an inch and a half long sitting in the middle of the room.
Dude.
And I was like,
Jesus,
I'm going to fucking lose my mind. So we look it up. Dude, to get any money back or anything from Airbnb, you need video, pictures. You need like crazy shit. Jesus, so I'm like, how are we going to do this? So it's a brick floor, right? Because it's like an old factory.
Right.
And all that we had there to cover it were glass cups. So I got to like cover this thing fast enough that I cover it, but slow enough that I don't break the cup on the ground.
Oh my God.
And dude, it was just like I had to walk out of the room and be like, count me down. She's like, 3, 2. I'm like, man, this is fucked. So we cover the cockroach up, take the dogs outside. We're walking them outside. And I look at Val and I'm just like, yo, you down to fucking drive tonight instead of tomorrow morning? Because I don't think I can sleep in that place.
I was going to say, now you're just like pissed. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. She was like, yep, I'm down. So like, I just went into like survival mode and was like, all right, fuck this. Like, you call the Airbnb, take a shower. I'm going to take this. Like, there's like a huge table there. And I'm like, all right, this table is sanitized table. And I like systematically went through everything we had in there and shook it out. And like, And then packed the car. We left, dude. We were pulling out of the parking lot, and I remember I go, "Here we go!" And I look, it's 12:38.
Oh my God, dude!
And we're starting a 13-hour drive to New Hampshire.
Yeah, you guys are fucking nuts. No, I would not have probably slept there, but I probably would have been like, "All right, yeah, fine."
Yeah. We were like, "Fuck this!" And about like 4 o'clock in the morning, I was like, we shouldn't have did this.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it's like, you ride that adrenaline for a couple hours. Like, we're going to get home early. Like, hell yeah.
Nope. Dude, I was destroyed. We got home, and I like refused to go to bed when we got home because I was like, we got to get all our shit ready for the rest of the week. So we like go grocery shopping, all this stuff. I slept from 7:40 p.m. to 6:40 or 7:40 p.m. to 6:40 a.m. like 11 hours straight. Didn't get up. Like,
right.
And I was just like fucking smoked. Had to squat the next day and was just like destroyed. But yeah,
that's crazy. No, the
podcast was sick. Obviously, like, it's an honor to get invited to do that shit. Like,
yeah,
it's a big deal. For me, like, obviously, like, Hoff, like, is Hoff. Like, that's who he is. And, right. You know, Dave Tate is a big deal, too. Elite, obviously, is probably one of the – is probably the biggest powerlifting company on the planet.
Oh, yeah, I would say so.
And like, has, you know, the test of time, has stood the test of time. And so, you know, Dave's not really, like, an internet guy. He's also not, like, a compliment guy. To be on that and kind of have him like co-sign me as a lifter and as a coach and stuff is like really fucking cool.
So sick.
I thought the conversation was pretty good. Obviously that gym is fucking ridiculous and the production value of the podcast is great too. So
I was going to say, it's easy to listen to. It's easy to watch. It's like, it's definitely top notch. As far as powerlifting podcasts go, I mean, it's pretty solid.
And also, you know, like, it's a good long form discussion. Long form where, like, people can, like, really kind of shine. It gives you an opportunity to talk and stuff. So I was pretty pleased with it. Some of the YouTube comments are fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at any of that stuff. That's funny.
Bro, people are mad.
About what?
There's like, I said at one point, I think we were talking about WPO, and I said, like, yeah, listen, like, if you don't want to do it, if you're scared, you can fucking go to church. Like, it's all good. Yeah. Like, and like, dude, that's like a fucking, that's like a pretty normal phrase.
Right.
Not saying anything crazy. It's like a DMX lyric. Like, give me a break.
It's pretty standard. It's a literal song, dog. Like, it's
song. Yes. Some dude commented and just said, like, oh, you know, I really liked Anthony until he made fun of the church. Like, you're not hardcore. You're this, that, and the other thing, all this stuff. And I usually don't respond to that shit, but I just responded. I was just like, hey, dog, like, you know, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. But I appreciate you. I appreciate you checking it out and listening.
Yeah, right?
And immediately he's like, "Oh yeah, I probably shouldn't have said I hated you." Like, you know, like, all good, man. And it's like, that's what those people always do, right? They just like, they want you to engage with them. So
you watch 4 hours of content, and that's the one phrase that you keyed in on enough to come down and write a comment. It's like. Yeah, relax. I'm not super concerned, buddy.
But I thought it was good and got some really good feedback. And, you know, something that I would love to talk about, when we were at Nationals, it was really cool. Like, it's a little overwhelming for me at times at meets because there is, like, a certain amount of people that want to talk to me and want to have their moment and have their, you know, whatever, which is like really weird for me.
Yeah.
That anyone wants to hear anything I have to fucking say.
Yeah.
It's very weird, but it just happens. And especially at a meet like that in an area that I'm not usually around.
That makes sense. Yeah. It's not like your typical, like local meet or whatever.
Yeah. And I'm not like, it's not like when I was at Ohio, right. Like, and everybody knew me and kind of whatever. So this was like a little different having people come up to me, but, and it gets like overwhelming and kind of annoying at times where it's like, yo, dude, like, I'm just trying to eat my sandwich. Like,
yeah, like you said, it's like, everyone's looking for that moment in time. Some people just don't know
when that is.
Yeah, exactly. The appropriate time.
Yeah. And I get it, dude. Like, it's all good. Like, listen, I'm, it's one of those things where, like, you can't complain about it cause you sound like an asshole.
Of course.
But there is definitely like a way to do things. Mm-hmm. And, but I will say this, like, I had several people come up to me and just say, like, hey man, like, I don't want to take too much of your time. I just want to tell you, like, I've been following you for years. Like, your Mental Monday stuff has really helped me. Like, you know, push through some stuff and whatever. And it's really cool and like validating and feels good and like all that, all those things.
Yeah, yeah.
When someone says that shit to you, because like it puts it all in perspective. Like, yeah, dude, like I'm kind of, I don't want to say like making a difference or whatever. That's a weird way to put it. But like having people like recognize that shit feels good. And it's like a cool experience.
Well, they didn't have to say it. Right. So it's like the fact that like they felt strongly enough to say something. I mean, there's some people that are just because you're, you know, somewhat, you know, famous within the community that are going to come up with some bullshit, but there's some people that are going to come at you with some real stuff too. You know what I mean? I think that's like, I just think that shit's incredible. You know what I mean? Just thinking about making Instagram posts and stuff and meeting people from the other side of the country that are stoked on what you're doing. Like, I don't know. That seems pretty sick.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's like for every one person that thought it was corny,
right? Yeah.
There's 10 people who think it's cool or helpful or whatever, you know?
Bro, you were big proof of that.
What's that?
You were like, I'm sorry. You were big proof of that. Like with the, I mean, because I mean, not that like I was on the, like at the early side, but like, I think it was 2018-ish was when.
You're right there, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere around that time. But I just like, from the t-shirts I was buying then and like the communications about like what you were doing business-wise to now, it's like anybody that like, you know, has the issue with the stay hated, it's like, people are just going to stay hated, man. And you can keep being the hater, bro. Like it's literally proved itself. And that's like corny to say, you know, kind of cliche, but like it literally has proved itself. It's kind of funny to look at looking back, right?
Yeah. And I love that. It's very validating. It feels good. It's like small, incremental, like consistent, like proper choices and hard work, you know, kind of like slowly. Like, bro, you know, like I didn't have 10,000 followers till this year.
Right,
yeah. Since 2017, you know?
Right, yeah, for sure.
I mean, like,
I was paying. You put Mail Mondays out for how long?
Oh, dude, I think I just did my, like, 160th, like, Mental Monday extended. Like, so that's, like.
Over 3 years?
Yeah, well, that is just. For the Patreon page. So like, think about that. Like the Patreon page, I didn't start until 2020. So I've been like, it's been like, I've probably done over 200 of those fucking things.
That's crazy, man. That's awesome.
You know, 200 ish. So
that's sick.
And it's all about just like the small, it's the same thing as lifting weights, bro.
Yeah. Just showing up,
you know, just showing up and doing the thing. So we're trying to like push the brand to like the next level type stuff, but also like staying like really, dude, I'd love to have someone like run my social media for me, but I think that for me, it would take away from that sort of like personal touch.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And sort of the like cult of personality type shit.
That definitely makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're trying to like figure out how to like push the brand in a way where it can like level up, but also stay like kind of mom and pops.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the, you know, I've been working with some of the guys from Corey's camp. I went out there in Ohio too. Went to Corey's spot.
Sick, dude. Hell yeah.
Corey Gregory. It was sick. Obviously yeah, those guys are fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. Corey was gone. He was on vacation or whatever. So I missed him, but I did a podcast with those dudes and,
yeah, I haven't made it to that yet, but I am stoked to give that one a listen. I love that.
It's cool.
Good stuff.
It's way more like their his content is more, like it's just a little more relaxed.
Corey G's stuff seems so authentic to me.
Yes.
And like that whole group just seems so authentic. You know what I mean? Just they don't seem to be putting out much bullshit at all. You know what I mean?
Bro, they know how to do, this is the thing. Those dudes know how to do business. Like,
right.
So Cole and Danny are doing like website stuff for me and email stuff for me and all this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hired them to do that. So we did, this is a fucking, I texted Corey about this after. I'm like, yo, you got some killers on your team. So we were on the podcast. We're talking about like reading and what I read. And I just said like, you know, I don't really read like self-help books anymore.
Right.
I read like science fiction type shit. Like it's fun for me. It's like, I found out that I like that. I know it's like dorky or whatever, but it's something for me that's kind of like,
yeah,
my form of like escapism, and I enjoy it. And just like probably said as much as I just said there. That's it. Just a small little blip. And we're driving home from Ohio. We're almost home, and I get a notification. One of the dudes like ordered a book for me on Amazon and had it shipped to my house. It was like his favorite sci-fi book.
Oh, sick, dude. That's awesome.
So it's like they get it.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that meant a lot.
What's sick about that too is, just to touch on reading before we move on from it or whatever, is that's something that like I've always wanted to do, is read. I just like, I don't want to blame it on like my growing up, but like I just never did summer readings and all that. Like, no, not gonna fucking happen. And that was something that like, as a, like as a adult, as you know, a professional, all those things that like I've really wanted to do is get into reading. In the last probably 3 months, I've been consistently reading at least like every other night. And dude, that is 100% because of those dudes. And that's not to just be like pumping their tires. That is 100% fact. After I listened to Corey G's book is when I started reading. And it's like, I started listening to, I can't remember, one of those guys is a big fan of, I think it's James Clear. And they talked about like getting into reading, just being like one page a day. And you're a reader. And I just applied that. And that's, dude, 1,000% the only reason I have the habit of reading at night like I do now. And it's helped. You know what I mean? It's like helped me just, even if it's just calming at the end of the day, because I'm the same way. I don't always read self-help books. Sometimes it's fiction. Sometimes it's just kind of whatever's laying around.
Yeah, I have a thing where I have to read at least like 2 pages every night.
Yeah.
So I sit down, you know, when I get into bed, I have like a no social media rule when I'm in bed.
Nice.
So that's one of my, like my rules, like no social media. So I'll like watch training, like some training footage of me maybe. And then like, I don't really count Reddit as social media, cause I never like interact with people on there. So I'll like go scope out like a few things on Reddit and then I read.
Right.
And it's just cool. Like, you know, I've thought about getting like a Kindle or something like that, but honestly, dude, there's like, it's hard to beat the fucking closing of a book when you read the last page.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I've tried the Kindle stuff. I'm the same way. It doesn't work for me. I'm like, oh, carrying this thing everywhere. I'm like, I do better just carrying my book around.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you mean.
It's definitely turned into more of like an entertainment thing for me. I think people need to start doing like, you know, I think it's important to start like with the like business stuff, or if you feel like you have a lack of motivation or a lack of discipline, like reading Big E or reading fucking, you know, Hormozy or Goggins or whatever, like all good. But it gets to a point with me where it's just like, this is just words.
Yeah.
I don't need this.
Yeah. That's, a, that's like an interesting point to it too, because I got a good friend of mine. We hang out every couple of weeks or whatever, and we literally just get together and like bullshit about stuff that you don't talk to like the people you hang out with normally about, you know what I mean? Just like some more in-depth stuff, whatever's like going on. And we recently talked about that. I said that was one of the things I had to learn, because I listened to so many of those podcasts, and like that's how I like, I listen to it on the way to the gym and from the gym. That's like my normal habit. And what I realized was like the first like year I was doing that, I was pretty much leaning into everything they were saying as being truth, and being like, not necessarily being truth, but like there had to be like a bunch of truth to it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, once I started like kind of, I don't want to say like listening to it like as an individual, but like kind of separating myself from the content and like giving my own like analysis of it. Just like you said, a lot of it's just bullshit. A lot of it's just like them talking, right? It's just like, you're just repeating the same thing over and over again. So I started like looking into, like literally just yesterday, I looked and found one of Corey G's like top 10 recommended or something. So I try to go like those routes instead of just like picking one, you know what I mean? Cause just like you said, it's like some random ass dude that's just recycling fucking motivational posts from whoever, right. You know, it's crazy.
Well, yeah, I saw the thing that kind of like switched me was like that. So I like Alex Ramosi. I think he's a genius. Like I the fucking too, yeah. guy. He's great. Yeah. He said something that pissed me off. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I was like, yeah. I need to fucking like filter who I'm listening to or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he's like, he said like, you know, what do you want to do? You want to make $1 million? Okay. You want to make $1 million a year? All right, great. What do you make right now? You make $50,000 a year? Okay. Are you investing any money in like learning new skills?
Right.
No? Okay. So right now it's costing you $950,000 a year to not make $1 million. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, come on, man. Like,
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
There's part of it that's like, I think he puts out like really awesome stuff. Like, I think I sent you the thing about how he's like, he's saying how like people will message him and say like, I want to work for you for free. Let me intern for you.
Yeah,
and
he's like, yeah.
And then I have to tell them
what I want done, right?
What I want. And then right. I'm working. It's like, no. Right.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
why?
Yeah.
No. He's like, I can fucking book out for $10,000 an hour or whatever. So if I have to have 4 15-minute conversations with you, I just lost 10 grand. So right. I might as well just do this shit my fucking self.
Yeah.
And I love that where he's like, no, if you want to help someone, you want to get hired by somebody, do the research, figure out what they're not doing that they want to do and do that for them for free and show mm-hmm. them. And instead of being like, how can I help you? It's like, no, yeah. help them. I thought it's a really cool outlook.
He's had some, I mean, obviously his success is, you know, speaks for itself, but he's had some like pretty awesome nuggets just in some of those. But the, like talking about the craziest stuff, he had one, I can't remember if it was a podcast or just a theory or what, but he just straight up said, just like, fuck happiness.
Yeah.
And just talks about it. And it's just like, as I was listening to it, I was like really investing. I'm like, okay. I'm like really buying it. And when I got through it, I'm just like, yeah, man, I'm just not with that one. I understand what you're saying, but like, I'm not going to put a bunch of stock in that one for myself. You know what I'm saying?
I do really like his whole, like, I don't have a morning routine thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's so fucking funny, dude. Like,
dude, that shit is comical.
he's like, I don't have a morning routine. He's like, I drink whatever coffee my wife is drinking. That's what I drink. Yep. And if I go to get her coffee, it's easier for me to just say, I'll have two of those.
Right.
I don't have a specific breakfast that I eat. I don't have a specific protein powder, just whatever, mm-hmm. because I'm just going to get up and I'm going to eat it. And then I'm going to work. And I like his thing too, where he says like, I just work until I cannot work anymore.
Yeah.
And I work and work and work and work and work and work and work. And then I take 3 hours and I binge some Netflix.
Yeah, for sure.
And then he's like, I enjoy working. Like, people will say that's not healthy. But like, what's healthy? It's fun for me, so I don't give a fuck. And I like that stuff because a lot of people, I think, especially young entrepreneurs, are like, I need to have the balance, bro. I can't be working all the time. It's like,
no, for sure.
Nope. You have to be working all the time.
Yeah, like, for sure.
I mean, my
home situation or whatever, just with like all of that, it's the, like, I still want to fucking, you know, the work-life balance and like having a family and stuff is real. You do, but you like, you got to figure out how to do all of the things, you know what I'm saying? And that's like, that means getting up at 3:30 or 4 in the morning. That's what you got to do, you know? And that's not trying to be like, oh, hard ass shit. That's just, if you really want to try to do that stuff and have that balance, it doesn't mean, you know, you slack off in areas. It just means you fucking make them happen when you can, if you really want to do that shit.
And it's definitely not a hard ass thing. It's facts, right?
Like,
if people take it in a weird way, it's just different. For me, it's like, I don't know, bro. Like I remember I was painting a fucking house in Plainville, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
fucking middle of nowhere. And I'm up on a 30-foot ladder. And at the time I didn't have a computer to separate like my coaching from my personal life. Right.
Right.
And so there I am on get a notification ping. I open it. And then here I am coaching a fucking squat from somebody in New Hampshire on a fucking ladder in Plainville, Ohio. And it's like, there's no fucking balance with that. Like, it's, you know, like, it's, I was probably 2 years into Trigger Warning before Val was like, I think you should have one day a week where you don't work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean,
and we turned Thursdays into that day, 'cause she had it off from work. So we got to like spend the day together
for sure.
That's sick. But there's no, like, I mean, off rip, dude, like, it's like, if you want something, again, the cheesiest thing alive, but like, you want something that only 2% of the population fucking has, where you work for yourself and you don't have to answer to anybody. Well, you have to do shit that 98% of the people don't want to fucking do. Like,
Yeah, for sure. Well, that was the other thing I was going to say. Just like, I've learned it with through the embroidery thing. Like, I love doing the embroidery, but I'm like much more inclined to, like, I really enjoy doing hat stuff, you know? Yep. And that's like, that's kind of been the adjustment, you know, like, obviously we talk outside of the podcast and stuff, but I mean, I've been up and down, like, my, you know, I've had to switch jobs here and there, but like, that's just kind of what I've had to do, you know what I mean, for like the family situation. And like, just like you said, how it's, you know, a couple years before you even had one day where you're like fully invested. It's like, I think that's another kind of misconception that everyone thinks, that you just got to come out hot. Because I think everyone kind of expected me when I got started the embroidery thing was like, he's going to get this thing and all of a sudden he's going to be a functional business in 2 months. And I'm like, it's just not how it works. You know what I'm saying? No. Like the,
no,
like what you're saying with the work, like there's been so many days where I'll be like at my desk, like, what do I do now? What's, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, that doesn't always last. You always kind of find something to tinker with or do, but some days I'm not slammed. You know what I mean? And those to me are harder than when I got people, hey, I need an estimate, hey, I need this, you know what I'm saying? Like, that other shit's tough.
Well, when you're working, when you're working construction and you're getting paid hourly or salary, right, and it's a slow day, you're like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking hell yeah. That's such
a good way to put it, yeah.
Fuck this. But it's like, if you have a slow day, like, if I like think about it, I'm like, man, this week I haven't done much coaching. I'm like, fuck.
Right.
Did I lose some people? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, fuck, no, I need to be busy. It's like almost like working as a waitress or a bartender. It's like, they're not happy when it's slow.
Right. Right.
They want to be fucking slammed because they want to make that money, and it's directly correlated. I think the difference with entrepreneurship is like, you have to be the self starter. Right?
Yeah, for like, sure. And the other thing is, on those days when I'm not busy, there's a guy that, like, if you have opportunities, like, sometimes you got to do that too. Like Monday, dog, I carried mulch all day long.
Yeah.
8 hours, because it was, you know what I'm saying, wasn't super tied up with the business stuff, or what I did have to do could have been done in the morning or in the evening. Sure. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, that's the part I think people miss too, is like I'm obviously consider myself an entrepreneur, but I also, if it means I got to do some landscaping on the side, that's what I do. You know what I mean? Oh, it's like, that's, you got to do that shit, bro. And I think people, there's a misconception with that work balance shit too. With that is, it's like, if it pops up Saturday or Friday night that, hey, landscaping job on Saturday morning, and I haven't, you know, been killing it this week, you got to do shit like that.
Oh yeah. I mean, bro, there was nothing glamorous about driving Uber.
Hey man. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, for where sure. It's like, okay, fuck. Like, I got money tied up in t-shirts. I got to pay my electric bill. All right. Well, I guess I'm driving Uber until I have the money to pay my fucking electric bill.
Dude, that's like so sick to talk about. Obviously I'm sure it wasn't fun, but it's fun to talk about now.
Yeah. It's fun that you earn.
Yes, dude. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's fun that you earn. Like, it's like, you look back on it, it's like, man, you know, there's parts, you know, you look back and it's like, well, the only thing I had to worry about was training 4 days a week, a fucking $550 a month apartment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Val didn't have a car payment.
Right.
Like, but we also, like, I've told this story a million times, like, it was hot as fuck. We needed a box fan. We fucking drove to Big Lots. It was $22. I looked it up online. It was $17 across town at Walmart. We put it back and fucking went to Walmart and bought the $17 fan. Like, we were poor like that, you know? And it's like, yeah, we had very minimal shit to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
But the things we had to worry about were like do we have enough money to buy ground turkey for dinner?
Yeah. It's so sick to hear those. And then, like, earlier in this conversation, we were talking about how you just hit 10,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
You're a gym owner now. This is pretty wild.
Yeah, and was able to, like, we were able to, like, travel to Utah, like, on the strength of that business.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
You know what I'm saying?
So
it just
awesome.
It's like one of those things where you look at it, every time I get stressed out, I'm sitting here looking at a box right now that has, it's got like a little bit over 100 t-shirts in it that I got to fold at some point. And I'm like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
But I'll be able to do that in my house, in my underwear, listening to a podcast, like, and they're all going to be sold. So who cares? Like,
now everyone listening to this has that visual, bro. You know what I mean? So that's solid.
You're welcome.
That's awesome.
Anyway, do you have anything coming up that you want to pump? Like, do you have anything that you've been working on? I know you've got some shit, but like,
man, I do. I don't know how much I want to. I'm probably just going to release it here soon. But got a new logo coming out. I'm super excited about.
It's dope.
Just got it last week, so gonna get it on some hats and get them coming out, and then. Talked about in the past, like you and I talked about earlier, just very busy lately, but you're going to start to see some of these snapbacks start to phase out and some new stuff coming in with the new logos and stuff. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
Who did that logo for you?
Mike Marino. Shout out.
Was it Mike? Sick.
That guy. He is the sickest, easiest motherfucker to deal with, man. So
cool. Yeah. Mike's the man. He always did us right too.
Yeah, man. I really appreciate that.
Do you have like a tentative, this will, I'm going to put this out on Friday. So do you have like a tentative like release date for new shit, or are you kind of,
I'll be releasing something this Friday, which will be kind of what I have left in inventory. And then next week, I believe I'll be releasing the new logo. So.
Bet. Sick. Cool. Give the social media out and email if people want to get in touch with you. They need product and shit.
At Barbell Bills on Instagram, Barbell Bills LLC at Gmail, and then new website address is barbellbillsheadwear.com. So no more Big Cartel. Yeah. Just straight up barbellbillsheadwear.com. You'll see it on my story every day. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and you can get, is there like a link in your Instagram to get to and all that?
There is, 100%. Yep, you can get through it through everything's through my Instagram at Barbell Bills and at 27 Stitches Embroidery.
Beautiful. As we're recording this, the fucking email has gone out. We're doing a pre-order for the Bury Me in My Canvas shirts. Those will be going on until, so this comes out on Friday. It'll be coming out till, we'll have the pre-order up until Wednesday. That is going to be a shirt that, like, I'm very infrequently going to print.
Oh, yeah.
So if you fucking want one, you should fucking buy one. I'm not going to reprint them for a very long time. Maybe we'll do them once a year, maybe every other year, but we're definitely not going to be printing those in, like, all sorts of colors all the time. I want to keep that to be kind of like a like an exclusive thing. We're going to be doing like a quiet restock, a quiet stock of some inventory, that people haven't seen yet. That's super dope. We're not going to make a big post about it, but if you want to know about it, go to twcstayhated.com and sign up for the email. People think that shit's scammy. Literally sign up for the email and you will get first dibs on all the apparel. You get 4 weeks of free programming, 2 weeks of free off-season programming, and you get all the Mental Mondays, Workout Wednesdays sent directly to you, and anything big that's going on, you know about it first. It's fucking easy, and you can unsubscribe just as easy as you subscribe, so if you don't fuck with it, go and do that. So obviously social media, AnthonyCW13, Trigger_warning_conjugate, Anchor Athletics NH. Our meet is basically half full right now.
Sick.
So if you're trying to sign up for that, I would fucking sign up for it quick. We've already got a bunch of sponsors. It's going to be dope. And I'm really, really excited about it. So, dude, thanks for coming on again. We're going to try and make these a little more consistent, I'm trying to revamp the podcast shit so we get out more content more regularly. Keep an eye out for those hats. You said Friday?
Yeah, Friday we'll be releasing some, and then the following is when you'll see the new logo drop.
The new shit. Sick. Yep. I saw one of my training partners got one of the shirts, the comfort color shirts with the embroidery. It looks sick.
Dude, I'm so stoked on those. Those did really well, man. And if anybody has any other colors or anything they want to see, let me know. I'll try to release some more. They're just hard to get in stock.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, they look fucking good, man. The one that Sean has looks dope. So, all right, cool. Yo, that's all we got for today. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you guys next time.
Appreciate it.